You are listening to the Extended News at Noon on WISR 680 AM and 107.5 FM. I'm Tyler Frio. We are continuing on with our election coverage. We are highlighting and previewing races for the state house campaigns here in Butler County. Today's focus is the 8th District, and we are joined by the current incumbent, albeit it's a newly drawn district, but he is the incumbent for this particular district, and that is State Representative Aaron Bernstein, who is running once again in the Republican primary. Mary, thanks again, Representative, for joining us by the phone.
Tyler, thanks so much for having me. Always enjoy being on your show, and it's a real pleasure. Thank you.
So let's start with this. We ask this of all candidates. Why are you seeking re-election?
Yeah, so Tyler, we were elected in 2016 with President Trump and really focusing on the areas of economic development, making sure that we have safe, secure elections, and everything that we can do in order to keep the fiscal house in order in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, particularly here in Western Pennsylvania. And, you know, the things that we've been able to do for over the last 5 years or so, we're proud of. And it's not just me. It's a team of people that we work together and collaborate with. Other people up here in Harrisburg, local government leaders, folks like that. And we're just happy to continue the progress that we've made. And we're really excited about the opportunity to get even more of Butler County than I previously had.
Well, you talked and mentioned elections. Let's start with Act 77. This was a law that was passed with bipartisan support. Since that time, it has become subject to debate in Harrisburg. What fixes do you think can be made with Act 77? Is there anything in particular that you would like to see changed?
Yeah, thanks so much for that. And that's one of the things that, as I'm out talking to people, is one of the first things on their mind is, how do you make it easy to vote and hard to cheat, right? We need to make sure that our elections are secure. And if your elections aren't secure and people don't have the fundamental belief that those who they're voting for, it matters, then you have a real problem in the United States of America and in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So when Act 77 was passed, the governor and the secretary of state went and basically changed the implementation of what transpired with that and what was in the law. We then sued all the way up to the state Supreme Court. We lost the state Supreme Court. And then we actually tried to sue for the federal Supreme Court. The federal Supreme Court chose not to hear the case. The biggest thing that happened, that happened with that, particularly with mail-in ballots and those types of things, are signature verification. And the fact that people's signatures did not have to be verified, and the voter rolls were not cleaned up. So parts of Act 77 were implemented. Parts of them were implemented, what I believe, unconstitutionally. And then parts of them were implemented to the fullest extent. And that is not the way that legislation works. The legislative body in the House and the Senate are those that actually write the law. And the implementation of that needs to be done by the executive branch. So what we've done since then, I'm part of 14 people in total, so myself and 13 others, that are suing to overturn Act 77 in the parts of Act 77 that we believe are unconstitutional, such as the mail-in part without signature verification. And we're not using any state funds for that. We're suing on our own behalf. So it's literally our personal money that is going to do this. We just recently won a case about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Tyler, that said that, yes, they agreed with us that the parts that were implemented were unconstitutional in nature. They now are appealing to the state Supreme Court. We're pretty darn sure we're going to lose that. That's okay. But then we think we have a great chance to also then appeal that to the United States Supreme Court. And that is our track in order to have this overturned in time. And we're full force ahead to make sure that that happens. One of the things that I've learned in this job over the last 5 years is you better be ready when things like this happen. And you have to know what you're doing in terms of all the rules and the regulations and situations and the legal aspects of it. It's a very complicated job, and you have to know what you're doing in order to actually get things done for the people of our area.
When you talk about mail-in ballots, and I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly, you say with signature verification. Would you be in favor of keeping mail-in ballots if there was a signature verification, or would you like to see the elimination of no-excuse mail-in ballots?
Yeah, so no-excuse, and I think it's just important for people to understand the difference between the two. So you have your absentee ballots, which says, hi, I'm ill, right? I'm handicapped. I'm going to be out of town. I have a work-related issue, whatever those things are. We've had that since the very beginning, and I think that's perfectly fine and ought to maintain the way it is. The issue is that people across our Commonwealth have lost faith in our elections process due to the mail-in ballot. So, due to the no-excuse mail-in ballot. So for that reason, I'm in favor of repealing that.
Again, we're talking with Aaron Bernstein, the state representative seeking re-election in the 8th House District. I want to talk about education. This has also become a highly discussed issue across politics. Wanted to get your views on what basically is the role of public schools today in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Do you think they're adequately funded? And do you think this is continuing? Or, you know, what do you believe that their overall role has been and will be here in the future for Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Thanks, Tyler. So the thing that I think that is so important with this is the following. Pennsylvania schools are not underfunded, and anybody that says that isn't paying attention. We spend over $19,000 per student per year, K through 12. I want to repeat that again. The average student across Pennsylvania that goes to public school is $19,000 per year per student, K through 12. That is the third highest in the entire nation. To say that schools are underfunded, it just doesn't make sense and it doesn't add up. Now, when you look at where we're at, we are in the middle of the pack in terms of all the test scores, the progress, those types of things. So we know that dollars don't actually equal results. What equals results is making sure that we're preparing students for the next generation in the workforce. And, we've focused on this since the very beginning. I've voted against numerous budgets that have taken more and more money and poured them into schools that are ineffective. Just today, actually, we'll be voting on a bill. It's called the Lifeline Scholarship Bill. The Lifeline Scholarship Bill is a bill that takes the children in schools in the bottom 15%. Okay? That means 85 out of every 100 schools do a better job. And it provides them the opportunity to go to a different school and transfer so that money follows the student to go into these other school districts or private school or wherever they choose to go. I know that parents know what's best for their kid rather than bureaucrats in Harrisburg. So that's a very important piece of legislation. Now, what I've found really troubling with this is the groups that have come out against it, because they consistently say, hey, we need more money for schools. We shouldn't, kids should be trapped in schools no matter where their zip code is. So the teachers union is not in favor of this and is trying to advocate against it. And most importantly, the Pennsylvania School Board Association, the PSBA, has come out against this legislation. Every single school board member, particularly those in Mars and Seneca Valley, are members of the PSBA and therefore are trying to keep kids trapped in bad schools. Now, remember, schools like we have, like Butler, like Seneca, Mars, schools like that, they are not in that bottom 15%, right? They're not the poor school or the poor performing schools that we have. But there are schools in inner city Pittsburgh and inner city Philadelphia. And to continue to force these kids to go into those types of schools is just exacerbating the problem and lead them to a life of poverty without hope.
Now, one of the arguments that you hear from some, and basically arguing over the funding mechanism for charter schools, the argument has been that why are, the tax dollars for this district going out of the district into the charter schools? So do you agree with the funding mechanism as it's currently set up, or would you like to see any changes made to that?
Well, Tyler, it's important that we talk about things that are the truth. And this is what school boards have consistently said, and the teachers' unions consistently said, and they're wrong. And here are the facts behind that. Typically, it's about 60% of the money follows the student. So I'll give you an example. If the average student cost in a school district is $10,000, right? We know it's more than that, but I'm just going to use that just per my previous comments. I'm just going to use that for simple math for us. $6,000 then gets paid, it's about 60%, about $6,000 gets paid to that charter school, and about $4,000 stays in the existing school district. So without them ever educating a child, that school district still has an extra $4,000 or 40%. So if you put it in actual numbers, it's about $7,000 that they keep for not educating any child. You know, this at the end of the day, schools need the right size. If they have less population, they should have less administration, less teachers. If they have more population, they should have more more teachers and more probably not more administration, but more educators in the classroom. And they need the right size, just like private businesses do and just like we do in our home. So when they say this, at the end of the day, the data and the facts and the statistics do not add up to the rhetoric that's being passed around.
We're talking with State Representative Aaron Bernstein, seeking re-election for the State House 8th District. Transportation funding at the state level, there's been conversations ongoing with how to fund the Department of Transportation in the future. Gas tax revenues are reportedly down over the past couple of years. What do you believe is a viable way to fund roads and highways in the Commonwealth?
Well, what I can tell you is the gas tax is going to consistently go down. And that's because of the federal regulations that deal with more fuel-efficient vehicles, electric and things like that. So no question, we have to get away from those types of things in order to funding with our roads. And that just makes good common sense, right? You know that each and every day people are driving probably more miles, but using less gasoline. Pennsylvania has the highest gas tax in the entire nation. That was voted on before I came here. I've actually co-sponsored several pieces of legislation to abolish that dramatic increase in gas tax. People are paying, their wallets are empty because of this gas tax and the fact that career politicians went ahead and forced this thing through. What we've seen recently is a variety of different mechanisms that have been proposed, and we're still evaluating those in order to see what makes the most sense. Whether that's in terms of a sales tax, an income tax, a variety of different things like that. But we're still waiting on some additional studies to come back. And my guess is that we'll have those in the next 2 to 4 months and start to take a hard look at that here in Harrisburg.
What's your view on what to do with the quote-unquote rainy day fund? These were federal dollars that were allotted to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They haven't been spent yet. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the number is around $2 billion. Do you believe that it should remain in the state's coffers, or are you in favor of getting this money out and about?
So two separate things. Number one, that money is not in the rainy day fund. That's a separate thing that exists here in Pennsylvania that is very different from the federal dollars that are sitting there. Okay. There are regulations and rules from the federal government that say that we have to spend that money by about, and you know, each dollar is a little bit different, okay? But roughly by the end of 2024. To me, and I've been a big proponent of fiscal responsibility, we shouldn't just dump all this money and spend all this money right away. We really ought to be taking a look at things and say, where can we relieve people from the taxes that they're currently paying? So I've been a large proponent of putting a halt immediately on the gasoline tax, using a significant amount of that money in order to fund those roads, bridges, and infrastructure that would have normally been spent from the gasoline tax. I think that's how you can give back to people, and it could be very helpful. One of the issues, though, with that is the fact that would it could help out-of-state people. And I want to make sure that we're helping people right here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So the other thing that I'm currently proposing and working on is where it would eliminate the driver's license fees and things like that that people could have. And therefore, would make sure that savings is done right here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
State Representative Aaron Bernstein running for re-election in the State House 8th District. Election day is May 17th. As always, State Representative, we appreciate the time.
Tyler, thank you so much. Always love being on and looking forward to it next time.
We'll continue on with our election coverage right after this.